Hi, Gagach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and this is Parshat Ki Tisa. We take a break from the building of the Mishkan and the garments of the Kohanim wore, etc., and then we'll resume more or less repeating that, albeit with a few differences, next to Parshiot. But we pause in the middle for Ki Tisa, which has a couple different things, one of which is the commandment of the half shekel, and another one is, unfortunately, the Chet Egel, the golden calf. So I'd like to speak about the Chet Egel, and then if I still have time, I'll also speak briefly about the Truma and the specifically the giving of the Machatzit HaShekel. So there are matters, many matters of confusing things that need to be clarified, what exactly was Bnei Yisrael's intention with the Chet Egel, with the offering of the golden calf, or the building of the golden calf, whatever. And even the wording is peculiar, and the concept, why they did it. But interesting is to also think about is what Aaron was doing, Aaron's involvement in seeming initiation of the whole thing. So Aaron was a lover of the people, and he was a peacemaker. And although he was among the holiest of the nation, he could not stand to see his brothers upset. He had to do something lest something out of his control occur. Right. In retrospect, it was probably an error in judgment, but nonetheless, that's what he had decided was the best approach at the time. Bnei Yisrael was in a panic at Moshe's absence, and Aaron needed to do something to buy time while still intriguing the nation. He therefore acceded to the nation's request and told them to bring forth gold, which he fashioned it becharet. Now, becharet you could read as really becharat or becharata, which means with regret. Aaron knew what he was doing was wrong, but he intensely hoped that Moshe would definitely come down before anything would happen. He was really trying to buy time. He therefore labored to make a mizbeach until Bnei Yisrael. The festivities would be tomorrow, not today. But, unfortunately, it was too late. Aaron was at fault, and certainly the rest of the nation even more so. And everyone who let this episode occur was nearly as guilty as those who participated. And that's why, even though only 3,000 people out of a nation of 600,000 or really well over a million, you know, only 3,000 people really took part in this. The entire nation itself was worthy of being destroyed. And that's why Hashem says, Am Kishay Oref, who, right? It is a stubborn-necked nation, right? Who, Hey Vav Aleph, is equal to 12, symbolizing that all 12 tribes were at fault in this matter, even the tribe of Levi, which even though they ultimately stood up for Hashem and killed those who participated. And either that's because they didn't act right away and waited for Moshe to return, or more likely, the involvement of Aaron, who was from the tribe of Levi. Now, Am Kishay Oref is definitely an interesting phrase, which appears numerous times in the Torah. Why specifically the term of the back of the neck, etc. But it's used specifically by Hashem to describe the Jewish people when he is very upset with them. And it's mentioned 6 times in Torah, with 4 of those times actually being in this week's Parsha. The last 2 times are in Parshat Ekev, where Moshe is in fact scolding Bnei Yisrael for its wickedness, which primary example of which was the Chet Egel, the golden calf. Now the phrase Am Kishay Oref is numerically equivalent, i.e. the Gematria, to many interesting phrases, including Vayared Moshe Min Ahar, and Moshe came down from the mountain. Unlike before, when Moshe was descending Har Sinai to elevate Bnei Yisrael and prepare them for Matan Torah, here he was descending to bring them the Luchot, the Tablets of Testimony, despite knowing what they were doing. And perhaps he was, in fact, hopeful that it would not be as bad as, Hashem made it sound. But when he actually saw Bnei Yisrael sitting with the golden calf, the fact that they were singing and dancing, he could no longer elevate them at this point, and he let the Luchot fell in despair. Now, this is a machokas. Chazal, whether or not he actually dropped them, whether he threw them down, whether he just couldn't hold them anymore. But ultimately, Moshe had to go back up to Hashem to pray for forgiveness for the nation once more. And Moshe had pleaded with Hashem previously to spare the Jewish people, and Hashem had agreed. Yet with Moshe, without Moshe seeing the sin for himself, he could not truly comprehend the severity of it. And therefore, once he really understood what Bnei Yisrael had truly had done and the level that they had descended to, he had to ask for forgiveness once more, this time coming from a more sincere place. Now, interestingly, the phrase of Am Kishay Oref, stubborn-necked people, is also equal to Vehebeti Otam, and I shall bring them, which it occurs in the context of Hashem foretelling that Bnei Yisrael will sin repeatedly and will be severely punished. Yet ultimately he will bring them back and once again bless them. We actually see a very similar lashon as the more or less the fifth lashon by Yetziat Mitzrayim as a promise to bring us into Eretz Yisrael and also for the coming of Mashiach, where even though there will be many in Klal Yisrael who have sinned throughout the ages and Golus, etc., Hashem will once again bring us back and give us blessing. Now, one other thing that this Am Kishei Oref phrase corresponds to numerically is Mikra Kodesh Yehi Alechem, an event of holiness shall it be for you. Now, despite the fact that Bnei Yisrael is a stubborn necked people, Hashem is telling them, you are still Kadosh to me nonetheless, and I therefore will once again restore you to Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash so you can gather together at these festivals, these Mikra Kodesh, right? And you'll be able to come together once again as a nation, right? So may it be our will that Mashiach comes swiftly in our days so we can see his prophecy fulfilled. Now, with the minutes remaining, I had mentioned that if I have time, which I apparently do, I would speak a little bit about the Truma and the Machzita Shekel. And interestingly, this actually is one of my favorite insights that I have over the years when I've been putting together Divrei Torah. But I'll put the whole thing in context before I get to the specific inyan. So before we get to the Chet Egel, we have the inyan of the Machzita Shekel, the half shekel, and it was given three times throughout the year. Now the Pasuk states, Machzita Shekel Truma LaHashem. The half shekel shall be a truma, which is literally a donation or a giving to Hashem. But Chazal teach that the word truma doesn't just mean to donate, but that it also stems from the word leharim, which means to raise up. For when one gives selflessly, he raises himself or herself up spiritually. You raise yourself by giving to a greater cause, by giving to other people, by giving to Hashem. For any donation, you raise yourself up. Now, what's really interesting, and this is what I was alluding to before, is that machzita shekel can also literally mean half of shekel. Now, the gematria of shekel is 430, which if you divide it in half is 215. And we know that half shekel, or 215, was given three times throughout the year, which is a numerical value of 645, or the gematria of truma, right? So it's pretty cool. The notion of raising up is also clearly apparent in the first words of this week's parsha, which is kitisa, because when you shall raise up, referring to counting the people through an elevated means, a means of giving where everyone is equal and it's all being given to Hashem or for the purposes of Hashem. Now, numerous commentaries speak of the notion of two halves of a shekel complementing the other, that no individual is complete without his fellow, and my father had actually asked me why the Torah uses the lashon of machatzit rather than seemingly the more appropriate term, you know, I guess, chatzi shekel or, you know, other variations of the chatz root. Now, the construct, looking at this word, appears to be causative, like the term machazikim, like those who cause damage, those who strengthen other people, those who hold on to it to make something strong. So to here, it is not a half shekel, but a halving of the shekel that is required. Now, Rav Satorsky, in a dvar that I heard a few years ago, points out that later in our parsha by the Chet Ego, that first Hashem commands Moshe to lech red, go down. And shortly thereafter, when Moshe prays for Hashem to spare the people, he says, lech aleh, mizeh, go up from this, ascend from this. The Jewish nation was damaged and could not at this point revert to their state before the sin. But they had the ability and the duty to rise up and strive for a full tikkun, not a half measure, but a full tikkun, to ascend from the ashes of despair and climb towards new heights. And that can be seen in the half shekel. Symbolically, if one were to break a coin in half, it would never break 100% evenly. There would always be, even ever so slightly, a larger half and a smaller half. But both are in fact needed to complete the shekel. One half is the arm reaching out from the pit, and one half is the arm reaching to pull that hand upwards or out of the pit. At the end of the day, both people ultimately ascend. One never knows which side of the coin one will be on, and maybe which half. But all halves are kadosh, are holy, and can become part of a greater whole, which can accomplish far more than the units by themselves. So may we all band together to help others and raise people up, and may everything we do be for the sake of others and for the sake of Hashem, and let us grow as a Kadosh, a holy nation. Shabbat Shalom.